God's grace and peace be with you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we have made it to chapter 6 of the story. We hear about Israelites' wanderings. You may have heard of the poet who said that not all who wander are lost. And that's a nice sentiment for today's generation. But I want to assure you, these poor folks back then were lost. And their wandering was because they were lost, not they were lost and that's what caused them to wander. Am I getting it all a little turned around? Maybe so. But I want you to imagine for a moment being Moses and having 300 million kids in the car all asking, "Are we there yet?" Let the emotion of that, let the road trip difficulties settle in for you. I can think of one road trip where I was just so struggling, so distracted by the noise that I missed a turn. And that missed turn caused us to have to go back 26 miles. 26 miles out of our way one way, 26 miles back. Whew, did that make for that trip even longer. And it ended up, I heard even more of those "Are we there yet?" moments. This period with the Israelites, Moses struggled with them. God himself struggled with them. It was, as we have in today's culture a phrase, it was a bit like herding cats.
This man right here is my great-grandfather. He's the first cat herder in our family.
Herding cats. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy.
Anybody can herd cattle. Holding together 10,000 half-wild short hairs, well, that's another thing altogether.
Being a cat herder is probably about the toughest thing I think I've ever done.
I got this one this morning right here, and if you look at his face, it's just ripped to shreds, you know?
You see the movies, you hear the stories, I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
But in all seriousness, what we are looking at here as we study this period of the Israelites is also an opportunity for us to look at ourselves, to look at our own moments, our own times, when we have rebelled against God, when we've questioned, when we've complained, when we've turned right instead of turning left, or when we've gone to the left, even though God said, "This is the right way." Yes, this lesson, this wandering, is a cold, sobering lesson for you and me. And I pray we'll listen to it, we'll learn from it, and with God's help, we will not repeat it. So, let's take a look. Let's dig in a bit at this. And to help us do it, I want to share a phrase with you that helps some of us directionally challenged folks. And that is the phrase GPS. Now, they're some of my favorite letters because they've made travel so much easier. It stands for Global Positioning System, Global Positioning Satellites, who are up there beaming away and helping us know our exact location. And now a little voice in our smartphones or the GPS receiver in our car tells us, in 2 blocks, turn left, and we're all set. We make it to our destination. The children of Israel had such a system, but it was different than ours. Theirs was God's GPS, or, if you'll allow me, God promising success. You see, God wanted to guide his people into a great future, this promised land, flowing with milk and honey, with cities that they wouldn't even have to build, with fields that they wouldn't even have to plant, with wells they wouldn't even have to dig. All of it would be there waiting for them. And all that it took was trust that the God who had delivered them and brought 10 plagues of destruction on Egypt, who had rescued them and brought them through the Red Sea, the God who had met them in the fire and the thunder at Mount Sinai and had given to them his guidance in the Word, the Law, the Ten Commandments, that this God wanted to give them even more guidance into a promised land. And God had promised success. So the Israelites sent in some spies to see things. We read about it in our story. And maybe the little children's song can help us remember. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Try saying that fast. Well, that is what happened. They went in and they said, as we read in our reading this week, that we seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes and in theirs as well. These people were huge. They were well fed. They were dug in. And for a ragtag bunch of ex-slaves from Egypt, the task looked like too much. Well, that was their problem. They were looking with their own eyes, making comparisons between their statue and the statue of the giants and everyone else who lived in the land. They were forgetting, as we sometimes do too, that God plus us equals a majority. If God is with us, who can be against us? If God is for us, no one can stand. They forgot that. And they had complained and grumbled so many times, questioned Moses, even his own brothers and sisters. There's a lesson in that for us as well, friends. When we see a fellow sister or brother in Christ placed in a leadership role or succeeding because God has given that to him, then let's just rejoice that that person serving God and serving all of us well, instead of the jealousy or the backbiting, the criticism that so often happens. Oh, she thinks she's really something now. Wow, I guess he figures he's too good to hang around with the likes of us. And then so much destruction comes, so much bitterness comes, as it did in the case of Miriam and Aaron, along with Moses. Let's avoid that. And let's instead cheer on those who are succeeding, those whom God has called to wear this heavy mantle of leadership, the ones that God invites to be the cat herders. Let's pray for them instead of complain against them. Let's listen to them and cheer them and encourage them and work together with them. As so many of our elders, so many of our other leaders on our council have done so much in this time when we've been apart that you may not have seen. People like Marissa Pennekamp making all of these videos work, Doug providing the music, choir members coming together, singing into their phones so that we'd have recordings of people singing the hymns, and on it goes. We can be a blessing to them. That was one of the last words Moses said, "I put before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life." I'll say more about that at the end of the message, but can we choose to be life-giving, blessing-giving people? Can we choose, because God has chosen us, to be a blessing to others? Friends, I think we can. I believe that by God's Spirit we'll be strengthened to do so, and we can avoid that big headache and problem that the Israelites had. They complained about their hardships. They complained about the manna. How many ways can we have it? We could have it fried. We can have it sautéed. We can have it sun-baked. We can have it with sun-dry, and on it goes. And yet it was food from God, the bread of life that he provided. They did nothing to get except go out and pick it up off the ground. This bread of life was God's way of providing. And they complained. They were not satisfied. You may not have been able to get all of your favorite foods at home during this quarantine time. And you may have even lost some weight because you have been eating less food. But have you had enough food? Have you survived? Are you okay? Yeah. We can keep on trusting that GPS, God promises success. He's going to be with the Israelites going into that promised land. He is going to be with us to get us through this, whether there's one wave or two waves or however many waves there are until there's a vaccine for this thing. He's going to be with us. God promises success. GPS. But You know, when Miriam and Aaron complain, when the Israelites keep on complaining, when they finally listen to the 10 spies instead of listening to God and the 2 spies who tried to speak on God's behalf, when they finally choose to listen to their own fear and say, we need another leader and we need another God, let's go back to Egypt. That's when God says, enough. And GPS, where God promises success, can also mean God punishes sin. This is a harder message for us to hear, isn't it? God punishes sin. He wanted to wipe out all of Israel at that point, were it not for Moses' prayers and intercession. He just might. He wanted to wipe them out and start over again. Be done with these people, and you heard it, who have complained against me and rebelled against me these 10 times. Oh. You know, I think this theme about complaining that's been a part of our readings for the last 3 weeks is something God has wanted to get across to us. How dangerous it is. But dangerous even more than complaining is disobeying, not trusting God. And that is the real sin of these Israelites. That is our real sin at times too, isn't it? We don't trust Him to provide, so we grab. We don't trust Him to protect, and so we fear. We don't trust Him to lift burdens, and so we carry them around, weighed down, struggling far more than we ever need to or God ever wants us to. And so these Israelites, God punished their sin of not trusting Him, of not following Him into the land He had promised them. It is a sobering thing to stop and think that a generation of people who had endured so much at the hands of the Egyptians, who had been slaves, who were on the very doorstep of the promised land, would not receive it. That was a part of their punishment. God punishing sin meant they were going to die in the wilderness, and their children were going to be delayed in receiving this promised land. Can you imagine being a father or mother back then, looking your child in the eye and saying, sweetheart, I know it's right there across the river, but I'm sorry to say, you're going to be my age or older before you ever get in. I'm so sorry. Can we think of times when our mistrust, when our disobedience, when our lack of faith in God has cost our children something in our lives? I know some come to my mind, and they're very sobering indeed. Oh, if we would let the pain of this lesson sink in for us, let it add to that holy fear and reverent awe that we experienced and were reminded of last week, if we would let the awareness that there are consequences, if we would let that rest on us, if we would let that help us still our complaining lips and open up our heart of trust and prayer. God, I don't see how. It doesn't feel good right now, but I believe You will be the one to get me through. That is a prayer God will answer every time. He has. Jesus came, and here's where we plug into our over story. He came to be that bread of life better than the manna. As Jesus said, they ate the manna, and yet they died in the wilderness because of their lack of belief. We, as we believe in Jesus, can eat that bread of life, can believe in Him, can take His grace and His life, His very life into us. And by doing so, live forever. In a promised land of heaven where there is no darkness, there is no disease, there is no death or tears or sorrow or suffering or pain. For this old order, even the ability to disobey, will have passed away. Oh, to be in that promised land, right? But until then, we have this promise. GPS, God providing salvation. The God who was punishing sin was still going to provide a path forward for the children of the Israelites. The God who provided his son Jesus has provided salvation for us. And the path forward is clear. Now, I don't mean that you can see a little green arrow going forward on the ground telling you everything to do, every decision to make. But it's clear that God is with us, that if we seek him, he will guide us. God provides salvation, and God promises success, and God provides solutions. GPS. Oh, let it sink in. Friend, God is good. And we know not everything we go through is good. But we will go through good or difficult so much better as we trust him, as we praise him, as we stay close and choose his way. We choose his life, his blessings. We choose to obey because of the strength of the Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday to help us do so. We choose to obey because the weight of sin is lifted off of us by the suffering and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and now new life helps us. We can follow our GPS, our God who provides salvation. We can trust and follow him. We can choose life with God and all that comes with it. May we choose his life, his way, his blessings, his strength, his solutions, and may we always choose his grace and his love over all. Amen.